You have your Bibles tonight. We want to look this evening in the book of Matthew, chapter number 15, verse 29. And Jesus, boy, I could preach an hour right there. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Oh, isn't it something, y'all, when the Lord sits down in a place where there's folks that are hurting and folks that need help, and the Lord just turns it into Mercy Hospital. And he heals every single one of them. Ain't God good? Amen? I want to preach tonight from this text, God being our helper, on this thought. Compassion beyond the bounds. Father, I ask tonight that you would touch us. And Father, you would help us that we might stand and preach the word of God to this thy people. God, I pray you'd encourage them. And God, you'd speak to their hearts and you'd help them in the way. Lord, I know we struggle. I know there's disappointments and there's difficulties along the way. But I pray tonight, God, that you'd just do a unique work. You'd speak to our hearts, God. You'd give us that measure of faith that we need, Father, to get us over the next hill. And I pray, God, you'd touch us and you'd bless us tonight, God. Show us truth, Lord. I pray, God, you'd put faith on display right before our very eyes. Help us, God, tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. As this chapter began, the Pharisees had attacked the disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, found fault with them, and said that the disciples were eaten with unwashing hands, and that made them to be unclean. And Jesus gave a whole discourse to them, saying, it's not what's on the outside that makes a man clean or unclean, it's what's on the inside. Amen? A lot of people, they'll say nowadays that external religion will cause a clean interior in somebody's life. But external religion will do you no good because sin starts in the heart. But it's internal redemption and a clean interior that'll cause someone to have a clean exterior. Amen. And then Jesus, after he gave that discourse, and Simon Peter came to the Lord, you remember, he said, Lord, you've offended the Pharisees. Well, bless God, it's about time the Pharisees got offended. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus went to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And when he got down there, there was a woman. She was a Canaanite woman, a Gentile woman. And she came to Jesus, and her soul was heavy because she said that her daughter was grievously vexed with a devil. Now I'm telling you, he's down there in Gentile land. And that Pharisee crowd probably found fault with where he went. And who he's talking to and who he's dealing with. And she's a Gentile woman. She's an outcast and a stranger. But the Bible says at first that Jesus answered her not a word. Didn't say he didn't hear her. Just said he answered her not a word. And then the Bible tells us that the disciples said, send her away, for she crieth after us. And Jesus said, I am not sent, but of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that woman, she came and she began to bow there and she worshiped him. And she said, Lord, help me. And he said, listen, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And you know what she said? She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She said, I may be an old Gentile dog, but I'm your dog and you're my master. And I'm depending on you to feed me. Amen. And then we see in verse 29, as our Savior, as he walks away from Tyre and Sidon, he comes close to the Sea of Galilee. Now I want to turn over to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 7, and I want us to see where Jesus has gone as he heads towards the Sea of Galilee. And I'll be honest with you, the Lord is not going a direct route here. It's like he's traveling in a unique path, almost like he's got a purpose for where he's going. Whoopee! I'm glad one night he passed by my way out to Balfour Baptist Church. He had a purpose for being there that night, and he found me. Hallelujah. There I was, living in
in sin, and he found me, and he saved my sin-sick soul. Look with me in Mark chapter 7, and look at the Lord's purpose of this path. The Bible says in verse 31, "And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis." The word Decapolis denotes to us that it is 10 villages that are hooked together. It is villages of Gentiles, not of Judaizers, but of Gentiles. Understand, the Lord told them Pharisees, it's not what's on the outside, but it's what's on the inside that counts. It's not the fact that we may be a Gentile dog, but it's that we put our faith in Jesus Christ, and he saved our soul. And he's putting this woman's faith on display. And the Bible tells us that he's there in a place called Decapolis. I want to say number one tonight, and I'm thinking about compassion beyond the bounds. Jesus considered them. Who is them? Sinners, just like me and you. Those that were vile, those that were sin sick, those that were wicked, those that were unworthy, those that were undeserving. The Bible said in the book of Matthew chapter number 15 and 29 that Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee. He's having compassion on those. Now, the Bible tells us about compassion, would teach us that it is a deep sorrow that moves you to the point of action, to where you're willing to do something and you get involved and you remove that affliction or you remove those circumstances from that one. Aren't you glad that when Jesus saw you, he saw your faults and he saw your failures, but he saw beyond those things and he came to you anyway and he saved your soul? I'm glad that Jesus considered them and he's considered us all tonight. Amen. Then number two, I want you to think with me, I believe that Jesus counseled them. Back to Matthew 15 verse 29. The scripture says that he went up into a mountain and he sat down there. Now in the New Testament, oftentimes the preacher, he would sit down, the speaker would sit down while the crowd stood up. Hallelujah, they were standing, I believe, to hear the word of God. The most important thing that any church will ever do is preach the word. It's not a social gathering. It's not a class, it's not a crowd where we get together and we develop our social skills. It's not a place of business. It is a place where we preach the gospel that Jesus died for our sins and that he was buried and that he arose again on the first day of the week and that Jesus, he can save all. Amen. I've often said I'm just a nobody telling everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Amen. There was a picture one time that was drawn of Jesus. He was walking on the water, and there was a boat in a storm, and one who had been walking on the water but began to sink. Reminds me of Simon Peter when he got his eyes off the Lord. And in this picture, Jesus' hand is reaching forth, and the little boy saw the picture, and he asked his daddy, he said, "Daddy, is Jesus saving that man or is he shaking hands with him?" I want to know that it's not important that we're shaking everybody's hand. What's important is that we're telling folks about one that can save them from the mucks and the mire and the depths of depravity. Our Savior can save you from a devil's hell. And I believe that Jesus, according to this text, he considered them and he came their way. And I believe he counseled them. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Our job is to see that the lost are being saved and that they become discipled in the faith and that they go out and become teachers and preachers of the Word of God and telling others about a Jesus that can save them. Number three, I see a Jesus that comforted them in verse 30. There is a great multitude that came to him. And look at the help he gave to hurting people. These great multitudes. I'm telling you, Jesus is like a magnet that attracts all. Amen. When he comes around, when Jesus gets in the house will get filled. Amen. The Bible says great multitudes came. And look, inside this great multitude were many that were diseased, with many handicaps and health issues. While you hold your place here, let's consider again the book of Mark, chapter 7, verse 31. We read in your hearing already that Jesus came to the midst of the coast of Decapolis. Look at verse 32. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. Can you imagine? Here's a man who is deaf and probably dumb. He has a speech impediment. And when they bring him to Jesus, Jesus steps him away from the multitude, and he put his fingers in his ears, and he spit, and he touched that man's tongue. Jesus, spit on me. Well, hallelujah. Because if you know anything about the medical field, DNA is contained in your saliva. And when Jesus spit, the very essence of God Almighty was placed upon that man's tongue. Hallelujah. And healing come. I say hallelujah. I need him to do some spitting, amen. Jesus was one of them spitting preachers. For those of you on the front row. And sighing up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. He charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Hallelujah. You may say, preacher, my problem's not deafness and dumbness. Oh, yes, it was. You, in fact, it was worse than that. You was dead. Dead people can't hear or speak. And the Lord came by your way, amen, and raised you up and breathed into your nostrils the breath of the Holy Ghost, and you began to live when you got saved. Amen. You may say, preacher, not, I'm already saved. That's not my problem. My hearing's pretty good, and I want you to know that my ability to speak, I know about your ability to speak. Boy, you could let her fly, amen. But let's go back to the text in Matthew 15. There were others that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. Just because it's not listed here, I like the term many others. That means if you had any affliction whatsoever, they brought them to Jesus. I'm glad that Jesus was there to comfort them. Look with me, the Bible says they cast them down at Jesus' feet. There they all were at Jesus' feet. And I believe healing came through holy power. For Jesus did the unthinkable, and he healed every single one of them that came to him. I thank God for that tonight. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Please understand that heartfelt praise broke out right there. People began to praise God and glorify his holy name for the great things that he has done. I want to say to you tonight, amen. You may say, preacher Darren, I've not been blind. I've not been deaf. I've not been stricken dumb. I've not been maimed. I'm not lame. Listen, friend, He has saved you from a devil's hell. He has done things for you that no one else could ever do. And He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our adoration. He's worthy of our reverence. He's worthy of me saying, well, hallelujah, bless His holy name. Great things He's done. Hey, when I had a prayer request, nobody else could hear it. Nobody else could answer it. But He passed by my way, hearing my prayer request, and He answered in His own good time. And I bless the God of heaven for the answer that He sent my way. I want to say that Jesus, He considered them. And Jesus, He counseled them. And Jesus, He comforted them. Number four, and we'll be done. I want you to see Jesus certainly had compassion on them. Verse 32. Then Jesus called His disciples unto Him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. Now understand, many of them have traveled for hours to get to where Jesus was. And I don't know how far you come tonight just to come to church, but I want to give you this report. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And so He's very much here. Preacher, how do you know? Because He said so. And I really got more reasons not to verify that to you than just that. Amen. I think there's evidence. I believe that He's got His handprints all over the service tonight. How about you? And they've traveled a long way. And when they got there, they have been with Him 3 days. What a revival meeting. Jesus healing and preaching and teaching. They have had a holy time, and now all the food they brought, they have eaten everything the crowd has got. If y'all got any crackers, not I'm hungry. Some of you ladies, I guarantee you got crackers in your purse. Let's make a deal, amen. Now listen, Jesus went out in that multitude and said, how many loaves have ye? Preacher, don't you ask me for crackers out of my pocket, but Jesus asked them for bread. And they gave Him 7 loaves. Probably just wafers. I don't know what kind of crackers you got, but they might be good to a man who's hungry. And I want you to know they found a few fishes among that congregation. Wait a minute, preacher, I've heard this story before. Really? Matthew chapter 14 told us that Jesus said, what have we to feed the multitude? And they went out looking, and they said, Master Andrew, there's a lad here that's got so many loaves and so many fishes, but what are they amongst so many? And the Bible said He gave, said, bring them to me, put it in the hands of Jesus. He gave thanks for it. He broke it, gave the disciples, and fed 5,000. And here we are in Matthew 15, and they're having a revival meeting, and 3 days they've been there, and He said, I'm not sending them away hungry. I'm glad, ain't you, when you come to the house of God, you don't have to leave here hungry. He'll feed your soul the Word of God. His disciples say unto Him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks. Boy, there's a key right there. I'm telling you, we ought to give thanks for the provisions that God has given us along the way. We ought to give thanks to God even for a cracker, amen. He gave thanks and He broke them and gave to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside the women and children. If each one of them men was married, that'd be 8,000. If they all had a child, that's 12,000. If they had all had 2 children, that's 12,000. Don't know how many youngins they had, but I guarantee you, it was a crowd, and He was more than enough to feed every one of them. He sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coast of Magdala. What a miracle that our Lord did. I want to conclude with this. I want to talk about the manner of this miracle. You know, there's a lot of skeptics that said Matthew got mixed up here when he wrote this. And he started getting so excited about what the Lord had done in Matthew 14 that somehow he included it in Matthew 15. And he got the numbers wrong of the fishes, you know, the five loaves and the two fishes. And he got that mixed up. And now he says it's seven. And Matthew's just all confused. And they're attempting to discredit the Word of God. You ever see anybody like that? Now, I just want to see what Jesus had to say about those miracles. Look in the next chapter, 16. Hear what Jesus said. Verse number 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, take heed, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you've brought no bread? Do ye yet not understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? Jesus said it's two different miracles. Jesus said it was five loaves and two fishes that fed 5,000 men, and then there's seven loaves and a few fishes that fed 4,000 men. Jesus said it was two different miracles. And I just believe Jesus. In fact, I do realize that both of those miracles involved Jesus, involved a multitude of a great crowd, and it involved loaves and fishes and disciples. But there are differences. Certainly in Matthew 14, there's 5,000 men. Matthew 15, there's 4,000 men. Matthew 14, the crowd was made up of Jews. Matthew 15, the crowd was made up of Gentiles. A lot of people said he won't feed that Gentile crowd like he fed that Jew crowd. But I got news. Jesus has got compassion beyond the boundaries. Woo, beyond the borders. He's willing to listen for us that were strangers and outcasts and foreigners. We that were without the promise and without hope and without God in this present world. Jesus did the unthinkable, and he crossed the border and the boundary and came to where we were. And he feeds us, doesn't he? He takes care of us every step of the way. In Matthew 14, they were in Bethsaida. In Matthew 15, they're in Decapolis. In Matthew 14, they took up 12 baskets of leftovers. In Matthew 15, they took up seven baskets of leftovers. In Matthew 14 and Matthew 15, the word for basket's different. Why is it? It's two different kinds of baskets. Did you know that there's more than one kind of basket? Y'all got really quiet when I said that. I don't know, preacher. I don't know if there's more. Hey, the Matthew 14, the word was the word kafinas, which is a wicker-sized basket the size and shape of a coffin. Big old baskets as big as a fellowship table. 12 baskets filled as big as a man, and they took away the leftovers. And they went immediately from that place and they got on board a ship. And they got in a storm. Now I'm telling you what, Judas Iscariot was a treasure. He didn't leave none of them leftovers behind. He put them on the boat, I'm sure of it. And in that storm, can you see? That boat's a rocking and a reeling, and that bread's going from one side of the boat to the other. And them disciples, oh, I'm so scared. What on earth are we going to do? Hey, I got an idea. You're stomping all over the bread that he just fed you and he didn't have nothing to eat. He'll take care of you in the storm. Now the word in Matthew 15 is a different word. It is the word spirus, which is the wicker basket the size of a small hamper or of a picnic basket, Yogi Bear. I want you to know that what Jesus is saying here, when he fed that crowd that was hungry, Jesus is saying, I'm going to get involved in the situation in your life. I'm not going to let you leave hungry. In fact, I'm just going to go with you now along the way. I'm going to take care of your every need. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. I'm just going to get involved with what's going on in your life. Wait a minute, preacher, what do you mean? In New York City, there's a 28-year-old girl. She got out of a car late at night and she was headed for her apartment building and she noticed a man in the shadows. So she began to rush towards her apartment building. But the man began to run towards her and he overcame her. He tackled her, knocked her to the ground. As he grabbed her, he pulled out a knife and he began to stab her and she began to scream. Blood-curdling screams, "Help me, somebody! Help me!" You talk about a dire need. Somebody in the complex heard her cries for help and turned on the light and opened the window and stuck their head out and said, "I say stop!" And immediately that man stopped what he was doing. Directly, the window closed, the light went back off, and he went right back to stabbing her. She went right back to screaming until he killed her. And the next morning when they found the body and they called the police department and they began to survey the building, 38 residents said that they heard her screams. And the police department said, "Why didn't you do something about it?" They said, "We did not want to get involved. We are afraid in that situation." I'm telling you, on the divine authority of the Word of God, Jesus knows about your situation. And though it looks like it's difficult, and though it looks impossible and unsolvable, and though you're crying for help, and the preacher can't help you, and the deacon board has pulled a window down, and the Sunday school teachers has cut the light off, Jesus said, "I have heard your cry, and I am going to get directly involved in your situation." Whoopee! George Barna gave a poll and said to people, "Why does the average person leave a church and never go back?" 63% said, "Because the church does not care." You and I are known as people that do not care. What kind of witness are we being for Jesus when we say, "I just don't want to get involved, and I close my window and shut my light off to the cries for help"? Our God's not that way, and we don't need to be that way.